All the people gathered in the square, and Ezra read the scriptures from early morning until midday. All the people stood up. They worshipped God. They wept when they heard the words of the law. Father God, as we stand before you this morning, we ask that you will help us to hear and understand your word with the enthusiasm and understanding of those listening to Ezra. Amen. Please take a seat. So, what do you reckon? Next week, all of you here, arrive with the 8 o'clock congregation at the latest. We'll go outside and stand on Highgate, which is pretty close to, was it Watergate, they said here. Yep, Highgate we've got. And we're going to listen to the Bible being read while standing up until lunchtime. Who's going to be there with me? Yeah, you don't like getting up early, do you, Zander? No, I can tell. Perhaps when it's warmer, eh? In our reading that we heard earlier from Nehemiah, the people responded to the reading out loud of Scripture and its explanation. With respect, they stood up. With commitment, they stood for hours. And with emotion, both tears and joy. In our reading from Luke's Gospel, the people also responded to the reading of Scripture, initially with great enthusiasm. But the bit just after we've read is where they turned to anger and tried to push Jesus off a cliff. You see, Scripture always has and continues to produce strong emotions in any who listen to it deeply and try and work out what it has to say. I was challenged to consider the other day the fact that those emotions become much deeper when they're accompanied by beautiful music and singing. But Robert, I reckon that's a sermon for you sometime. So we're not going to go there today. Each of us here, I'm sure, will have a different experience of reading and hearing and understanding the Bible. Some of us will have been reading it daily for years. Others may have studied it at school or college. A few will be regular preachers and teachers. But for many people, they know the Bible through songs and stories, perhaps taught at school or at Sunday school. And it's quite hard to just hear a passage on its own on a Sunday, not really sure what it means or what to do with it. And whilst I'm not sure I would be up for standing for 3 or 4 hours out in Highgate, I do believe that we have lost the art of listening to whole chunks of story. I, being a big fan of stories. Stories read out loud with all their drama and intrigue. Wendy was talking about Jonathan, Ben and I doing a drama. Maybe we should start acting out some of these great big epic biblical stories. Because a huge amount of the Old Testament, the first part of the Bible, is filled with the stories of God's people, the Israelites, and their continual struggle to live out their faith in God. To put it really simply, they had just one task, which was to worship Yahweh, God, the true God, with all their heart and soul and mind and strength, and to follow his commandments so that life would go well. But of course, they had hundreds of idols and other gods that they were used to, and it was so tempting to turn back to them. And throughout the Old Testament, we have epic tale after epic tale of the Israelites wandering off into the wilderness, into battles, into worship of idols, and then God patiently calling them back. I don't suppose any of us resonate with that notion of wandering off and being called. Perhaps it's just me. The passage we heard from Nehemiah is a perfect example of this. The people of Israel had rebelled against God, properly rebelled, and Jerusalem had been left in ruins, physical and spiritual. And Nehemiah suddenly woke up to the fact that it had all gone wrong again. And he begs God to let him go back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the walls, and to remind the people of who they are and to whom they belong. And so the passage we heard today was after the walls had been rebuilt, when Ezra is chosen by Nehemiah to stand up and to read and to explain the scriptures. It says in verse 8, they read from the book, from the law of God, with interpretation. They gave the sense so the people understood the reading. The people are reminded of their history, of their command to worship the one true God. And the people are excited about turning back to him, about putting things right again. And I don't know if you noticed that little part at the end when they're told how to respond to this good news. It says, have a party, drink sweet wine, eat the fat, but send portions to those who have none. Have a party and share with the poor. I hope you're already picking up the links there with the reading we just heard from Luke's Gospel, where Jesus is in the synagogue, also reading the scripture out loud and explaining it to people. And as we said, at first they're incredibly enthusiastic, but not for long. Because like the passage in Nehemiah, the response to God's call has to be lived out in practical actions. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour. The idea of practical response was nothing new, but Jesus then drops his bombshell. Just as he was casually rolling up his scroll, a bit like me picking up my notes, ready to leave, he says, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. So far this year, we've heard about Jesus' birth, his baptism, his first miracle at the wedding in Cana, and now this public declaration, not only of what he intends to do, but of who he is. This is often known as the Jesus Manifesto, the heart of what Jesus was about. And it's a huge threat to those who were seeking status and power. Jesus speaks about grace for all people, good news for the poor, not just for the religious elite. He alludes to the radical inclusion of the gospel. So where does all this leave us today? Well, firstly, I hope that for some, it leaves us with a fresh thirst to read some of the epic passages and stories of the Bible afresh, or perhaps listen to them read aloud. We're in this wonderful age now where if you click online, there are free audio versions of the Bible all over the place, some of them with some fantastic actors and actresses reading them for us. I personally am challenged to reflect on the areas in my life where I get distracted from worshipping God by the myriad of idols and diversions that intrude from every direction. But to finish, perhaps we can reflect together on what it means for us as a community to follow Jesus in continuing to celebrate his good news, as we will do shortly in taking the bread and the wine, but also in declaring it to the poor. All of us, if we are honest and real, have times in our lives when we know we are the poor. We may not be materially short of money or goods, but there are, of course, many types of poverty. I wonder who here today is feeling poor in spirit. Those we know who are poor in health, some of whom are unable to be with us today. Those who are poor in relationships, knowing that there are some fractures and cracks that seem impossible to mend. The times when we feel lonely, far from God, and broken inside. That's when we are called to be good news to each other. We have a prayer team here at the Minster who meet just through in the choir during communion each week. And they would love to sit with anybody and to share their burden, their poverty, and to bring them before God. We have a wonderful pastoral team. I don't know if you know about them, but they visit the sick and housebound. They send cards to encourage people, and they try and connect those in need with those who can help. Again, do chat to anybody wearing robes like me afterwards, and they can tell you a bit about it. We have many small groups who try to meet around different interests as a way of gathering people together to support and provide that good news. We can get together to sew or to garden or to eat or to pray or with our children. We meet in homes and pubs and over in the parish rooms, all offering ways to connect and to be good news to each other. But of course, beyond this Minster community, there is a huge world which is crying out for good news in so many different ways and places. And I was delighted that it was such perfect timing that this morning we've been able to celebrate those four groups that are doing just this. The Life Club, Ticton Church, Label of Love, and Biscuit. All organisations of people who have given their heart and their time, their talents and their support to encourage young people locally, to teach them the big stories, the meaning of Scripture, and to encourage them to continue the work of Jesus and to celebrate his good news. But as a church, we also support over a dozen different organisations that have responded to Jesus' call, not just locally, but around the world. And you're going to be hearing a lot more about them over the next few months. And we, in return, would love to hear your stories of Jesus transforming lives today. A few weeks ago, Claire came to share about the work of Compassion and offered us a chance to sponsor not only a child, but to invest in their community in Uganda so that their future can be one that is not limited by the poverty that robs so many of the chance to flourish in life. There are a few children who are yet to have a sponsor. I was particularly struck by Paul, who looks incredibly cute this morning. And they'll be over by the refreshment area. And if you'd like to know more, do have a chat to me, Tom and I, when we decided that we'd rather have a puppy than a baby, given we were slightly elder when we met. We sponsored a child called Mercy, and it's been a delight to hear her news and to hear all about how she is flourishing through her life and through sponsorship, not just of one, but of many, investing in her community. Next week, we're going to be interviewing Sandra, who comes from the Children's Society, who worked tirelessly to alleviate poverty in this country for young children. And it's going to be a real privilege again to learn more of these ways that we continue to bring good news to the poor, release to the captives, and sight to the blind. Let us this morning be people who read good news and who live good news. Good news for our community. Good news for our families. Good news for the poor. Good news for the world. Good news for all. Amen.